Okay, everyone, here is the very latest bolt from the Blue podcast to talk about the game against Liverpool. A very fascinating encounter this is. And to talk about it with me, we've got none other than Bernard Dineen. Bernard, how are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. My heart's just about got back to its normal level after watching that yesterday. It's not healthy, is it, sometimes watching us when we're not in control of games? And I think that was the case yesterday.
Well, I think we've both had a chance to digest it. I mean, sometimes it's not good doing a pod immediately after it. I don't think we'll ever be accused of that, Bernard. But I think that we've got the measure of it. Our feelings have settled down a lot. And let's get stuck into this. So pick the bones out of this one. And as always, I'm going to start off with the lineups. So, Bernard, any surprises? Any curveballs thrown by Pep at you? How did you get on?
Well, I'll read the 11 out, and then I'll mention a couple of names. I got nine, so I was reasonably happy with that. And I'll be honest with you, one of the ones I got, I think most people said should have been on from the start anyway. So, and it sort of proved, and it's not hindsight. I think most City fans I've seen on social media agreed with it. Anyway, the 11 was to start the game. Edison Walker, Stones, Akanji, Aki, Rodri, De Bruyne, Bernardo, Alvarez, Foden and Haaland. Of course, on the bench was okay. Ortega, Diaz, Kovacic, Doku, Gomez, Gvardiol, Nunes, Bob and Lewis. I'm reasonably happy Gvardiol didn't sneak into the team. Of course, Aki perhaps let us down a little bit. We'll talk about that. But, of course, he's the main guy as far as that left-hand side for most City fans. And, of course, I did have Diaz in there. I'm very surprised we went into a Liverpool Anfield without Diaz. But I wasn't surprised Akanji got in because I think he's played quite well, hasn't he? I think Pep probably struggled as a defence, as a defender. I don't think he probably thought there wasn't a lot in it between Akanji. Of course, his size, he's not too bad in the air, is he? I think he's a bit better than Diaz in the air as well. So I wasn't surprised by that one. But obviously the one that surprised everyone and surprised me was the inclusion of Alvarez. I obviously had Kovacic in my team. And of course, we did see later on, we settled down a lot better when Kovacic came onto the pitch.
But yeah.
Would you agree with that, mate? I mean, was Alvarez a bit of a surprise for you as well?
He was indeed. I was expecting a little bit more midfield cover. And I expected Kovacic to be in there too. And some of these substitutions Pep made later, bringing on Kovacic and Doku, especially Kovacic, did make quite a bit of difference in that hectic second half. But absolutely, mate, absolutely. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just run through the Liverpool lineup very quickly. Okay, here we go. So we've got Kelleher, Bradley, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Gomez, Endo, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Diaz, Nunes and Elliot. I was just going to ask you, Bernard, a lot of guys in there that it was, you know, quite a youthful lineup. I mean, people like Bradley, Kwanzaa, I'd never even heard of. What did you think of how they lined up?
Well, I'm glad you said Szoboszlai, mate, because I never know how to pronounce that.
me neither.
I'm glad you came up with that one. I'll tell you what, mate, I was impressed with Liverpool. Not the strongest team, of course. And I think a couple of guys, certainly Nunez up front, I thought let them down a little bit when it came to the crunch. I thought Diaz was excellent. I remember it was that second half run where he ran from one end of the pitch to the other, and Rodri was absolutely nowhere. Walker was literally, he ended up with him smacking him in the face and going out the corner, I think, at the end. But some good young players. I mean, I've sort of joked about these kids of 2024, we're calling them now. It's not the kids of 92 or whatever, it's the kids of 24. But yes, a couple of those young lads, I thought they were excellent. I mean, that, as we know, they've had a few injuries, they've still got players out. Of course, he didn't look right, did he, when he came back on Salah, apart from a couple of dives. He didn't look quite at it, but I think they've done well. I think, of course, we like Malik McAllister's in him. I think I'd have him at City. I think you'd probably agree with that. I'd have him all day long at City anyway. Mm-hmm. And that Endo's very good as well, don't they? So, but no, a good team. I was quite impressed with Liverpool. They play the base. They play how Liverpool play. You know, they get it up to the forwards as quickly as they can. And that's how Klopp plays. So, you know, he's played that all his career, I would have thought, hasn't he? Through, you know, the Dortmunds and all this sort of thing. So, yeah, but of course, I thought we did well to cope with him in the first half. We'll talk about the game in a little bit more detail. But, of course, they kept going. We didn't wear them out. And that's what City normally do. But we just had no control of this game whatsoever to be able to wear them out.
Well, I'm going to just pick you up on that last comment there. Now, let's talk about the opening 20 minutes. Up until the first goal, we'll not reveal who that is, but I'm sure everyone knows exactly what happened. But we're just going to give our thoughts about it. Now, I thought, Bernard, up until maybe the 15-minute mark, City were well in control, I thought, very measured. I only wish it had turned out like this in the second half, but certainly up to the goal. There was a disallowed goal just before for them, just before the goal happened. But yeah, I thought the first 20 minutes we were looking all right.
Yeah, I think the first 10, I wouldn't say 20. I think the fact we switched them round, we made them kick the opponents in way, which I like. I like when teams do that to us at the Etihad because it disrupts your sort of style of play, because you do have favourite ends to shoot towards. It's as simple as that. I know it's the cop they're shooting towards normally in the second half, but players get used to it. Players get used to playing in a certain way, whether you're playing in a Sunday league game where you play your own games and you always want to shoot a certain way. And it's the same with a massive stadium. The teams generally want to shoot a certain way. And I think that was good how we disrupted him. And I think it took them 10 or 12 minutes to sort of get the gist of it. But I think their first real chance was when Nunez went flying into the rear post. That was 14 minutes. So I think at that stage, we've been pretty much in control. De Bruyne had had an effort. Anthony that Keller had sort of palmed away. Of course, Alvarez did a great ball to De Bruyne. This was 8 minutes. And of course, Keller goes out for a goal kick rather than finding Foden, you know, to nod in. So it's a bit of a miscalculation by Kevin there. He's a bit overshot with his cross. But yeah, I agree. First 10 minutes, first 12 minutes. But I think once that chance they had, and Nunez couldn't quite get on it, I think they lifted the game for them, and it looked as though they were getting the upper hand. And of course, we sort of shocked them by taking then a lead against a run of play? I think it probably was at that time.
Maybe a little bit. As I said, I thought 5 minutes before the goal, they were, you know, getting into it. And as I mentioned before, they did have a goal disallowed for offside. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was McAllister to Nunez, wasn't he? And he was offside, although he takes the ball and obviously then crosses it for Diaz to tap in. But of course, I think he was a good yard offside, wasn't he? But that was just after Nunez had had a header, ante that he sort of headed just wide as well. So he had two or three chances before Mr. Johnny Stone stepped up and did the business for us. And that was halfway through, wasn't it? About 23 minutes.
Yeah, indeed it was. Now, the goal, when it happened, was on the 23rd minute. And I'm not sure that I would say that this was against the run of play. As I say, they were sort of, after that, certainly after that disallowed goal, they'd looked like they'd sort of got the lay of the land, as it were. But then up comes Johnny Stones. Let's talk about this one, mate.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? What was it, that Luton game where Aki was taken out of the... it was Tony, wasn't it? Where Tony took him out of the play that game. Was it? Was that Brentford? Brentford?
I think that was Brentford, yeah.
And I said, had they stopped using the obstruction rule, didn't I? I sort of mentioned, you know, because he took him out and obviously he was allowed to run on and score the goal. But, you know, he wasn't making any attempt to play the ball. And Aki did exactly the same thing, of course, to the Liverpool defender. I can't remember who it was. He took out at the post. I don't know who it was. He was blocking McAllister. That was it. He was blocking off McAllister, wasn't he? And, of course, we have said from corners, we get enough corners, that, you know, we did need to get some goals. And obviously the set-piece guy's been working on it. And it was definitely a training pitch move. And, of course, Johnny Stones, no one ran with him. And I think he got a hand to it, didn't he, Kelleher? But, of course, it was far too close in for actually. I thought it had gone wide, to be honest with you. I was surprised it had nestled in the goal. I thought it had just gone wide of the post. But, yeah, training pitch effort. I didn't see Pep going to applaud anyone on that one, which he did a few weeks back, didn't he, at the Etihad? But, one, I think, yeah, when I say they was against a run of play, I thought we'd just... We probably edged it slightly by the 23rd minute and probably deserved the goal.
Mm-hmm. So this sort of first half can be described in what happened before the goal and then the post-goal section until the halftime whistle. Now, let's talk about what happened after the goal and how both teams reacted to that. How did you think we got on after that one?
Yeah, I think it just more or less carried on. You know, they livened up a little bit, but obviously we had a couple. I think we had a couple of half chances, didn't we, to increase the lead. I thought there was one where De Bruyne let fly, didn't he, from outside from 20 yards, and the ball was sort of deflected. I think the keeper might have had it covered anyway, but he couldn't do anything about it. And of course, there was that great break where it was a one-on-one with Haaland and Van Dijk, and we'll probably talk about Haaland, but I don't think generally. He had a great game. Someone actually said he had a good game because he sort of occupied Van Dijk. Well, I mean, I could have occupied Van Dijk about 30-odd years ago. That doesn't mean you've had a good game just because... And I don't think he did because I thought Van Dijk played quite well yesterday. I thought he played his normal game and coped well with Haaland. But he got through one-on-one. And he got on his favourite left foot. Of course, Van Dijk was trying to push him out to the left, which is probably a mistake because that's his favourite foot. This was about 38 minutes or something like that. And he let fly. It was a really poor shot. He just straight at Kelleher. And he had no difficulty saving it. But, you know, all credit to Haaland. He did everything right. Worked well, sort of got the goal side of Van Dijk a little bit. But he couldn't finish it off. I thought we had chances to go 2-0 up. I think they had a header again that just he could have done better with. One of their guys had a header that I can't remember who it was now. Let me have a look if it's on here. Can you remember that header where he sort of got over? He rolls like the proverbial salmon, but he headed it over the bar. I can't remember what it was now, but and that was it. I thought we'd played very, very well. And of course, Haaland was involved again. I've said he's had a bad game, but he sort of got the ball off Van Dijk and of course laid it off to Alvarez. But as is the norm, Alvarez sort of blasted it over the bar. I mean, perhaps. The other day when he shot on target, at least it made the keeper make the mistake. But if you're going to shoot over the bar, it's not, you know, not challenge the keeper. It's not going to go, is it? It's going to be pretty awful. But and then we had another chance. Perhaps we could have had two or three because Walker did superbly well. This is on the stroke of half time, isn't it? And De Bruyne was there. And he just whacked it across the face again, and it was to nobody. It was just sort of cleared everybody. His end product was absolutely awful, Kyle Walker. And I think that was a problem with Kyle Walker. He did some good stuff defensively, but going forward, he's just can't cross that ball, mate, can he? He just can't get the crosses in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me drag you back a little bit and talk about two names that you mentioned. The first one is Van Dijk. I wonder if you read that comment that attracted some ire from City fans when Jamie Carragher, you know, we all love him, Spitter, we call him. Now, he actually said that on the evidence of this game, he reckoned that Van Dijk is a better defender than Haaland is as a striker, no matter how many goals he's got. I mean, what did you think of that? I mean, that got people backed up.
Well, for a start, you can't take one game out of all the games and just compare, can you? It's simple. I mean, Van Dijk is a very competent centre-half. He's a very, very good centre-half. And Haaland is something special as a centre-forward, isn't he? And, of course, as I say, he had that. A couple of times, as I say, he got the better of Van Dijk, and on another day, it might have gone in the net. So would he have been saying that then? I don't know. But, it's... You can't compare a centre forward to a centre half. Surely they're both world class. I think centre forward and a centre half. I mean, I laugh about Van Dijk. He makes errors, but you know, so does Haaland. So no, obviously he's got to stick up for his team, isn't he? This is it's all about doing us down. because it means more to him, mate, doesn't it? It means more to him than it means to us. So he's going to do that anyway, isn't he?
Did you see that? You see that reaction on Twitter? I mean, every single tweet that that came up on my timeline, it was some wag talking about what meant more to them. And it was like, you know, I got up this morning and I had my breakfast. And, you know,
I put the bins out because it meant more to me than to
play. It meant more to me. I know. They really did that one to death, the city faithful. Well,
funny. I think the funny thing was, away from the football match, of course, there's lots of videos today of the Liverpool fans waiting to welcome the City coach, and obviously they took it the back way.
I know. That was funny. Yeah. And so the other thing I just wanted to mention was something that happened on 34 Minutes, which unfortunately was a sign of things to come, involving Alvarez, who, in my opinion, had a bit of a stinker. He had a bit of a stinker. And it was on the 34th minute, and he tried to play the ball out. And there's three Liverpool players, you know, descending on him. And, oh, my gosh. You know, they ended up getting us into trouble, but the Bradley took a shot and it was blocked. Ederson finally, claimed it. Danger over. But that was a bit of a sign of things to come for Mr. Alvarez, wasn't it?
Well, Alvarez started very, very well. But then again, we started very well, as you pointed out and we mentioned. We started really, I thought Alvarez did. But then, you know, one thing against Liverpool, whether we're in defence, you know, we have to sort that press of Liverpool's is tremendous, and with that, all that youth on the pitch yesterday, it was even busier. They might not have been as subtle or as skillful as some of the teams they've had over the years, but some of them young lads, that press was superb. We'll talk about when Ortega comes on, of course, in a moment, but you know, Ederson was having to, and that's what he does. Pep sometimes goes long against Liverpool. You see him pinging the ball further out against Liverpool. The trouble is, we didn't have many outs, did we? I mean, Haaland never was really picking the ball up and holding it. So you tended to get Ederson pinging it up the pitch, but it was coming straight back at us because obviously the press of Liverpool, and Alvarez just got caught, as you said. And it wasn't, you know, I think there was when they do these compilations of him, and it was horrible to watch. I mean, obviously, it's shown all the bad things Alvarez did, because he did do some okay things. But it was just horrible to watch it, because, you know, a Pep team, we do not give the ball away like that. But, of course, you've got to look at who we're playing, our opponents. And Liverpool are the masters. You know, if they can press, they will. And they're probably, for me, they're certainly better than us at it at the moment. I don't think we're as good as it. This season we have been in the past. I just don't think we have the players to do it. But as you say, the experience is great. But when you got young players, they'll work like that for 100 minutes. So you'll get that, you know. And that was the problem yesterday. We just couldn't get any sort of control of that ball at all. Our percentage completion of passes was the lowest I've seen this season. I think it was 81%. It's usually 91, 92. It was 81%. And that's all credit to Liverpool for the way they pressed us.
Well, okay. Well, let's have a few general comments. How are you feeling at halftime? It's 1-0. And normally you would think, okay, well, I think we can build on this. How are you feeling, and what were you thinking at halftime? Were you satisfied with the display?
Yeah, my little half-time comment I'll do on me, obviously, story of the game. This is what I actually wrote. This is not full-time. This is what I wrote at half-time, because obviously I wasn't at the game. So when I'm, you know, in these cases, I can write it. And I just said, 1-0, a pulsating first half, both teams at it, both teams making errors, both teams playing some nice stuff. And that's what it was. It was some good stuff and some sloppy stuff. And the training ground corner is a difference at half time. And I expected the second, if we could get through the first 10 or 15 minutes, I expected more of the same, and the possibility of sneaking it, even though I predicted a draw before the game. I was hopeful of sneaking it because I just expected the second half to pan out exactly the same. But, mate, I mean, you described that first, but, you know, I'll come in, mate, but that first a minute and a half of that second half. What the hell? What, you know, basics of football, as a certain well-known footballer used to say.
Basics of football.
Yeah, keep it tight for 10 minutes after half time. You know, take it, because obviously they're going to come at you. Just keep it simple. Get, you know, get rid of that ball when you need to. So within a minute and a half, they're back in it virtually, aren't they, mate?
Oh, my gosh. what headless chickens here on Nathan Ake. Let's talk about Nathan Ake. He's been such a Rolls Royce of a player for us. But this was crazy. This was the definition of a hospital back pass. And Ederson might have a few words to say to him. But what about this one, mate? So this is a poor back pass from Ake. That's Ederson in a world of trouble.
It seems harsh to pick on Ake, but this is a big game. This is, you know, we've probably got three or four big games between now and the end of the season, and this is one of them. This is where you want your big players to step up, and certain people, not all, we didn't really as a team yesterday. I don't think we stepped up. We had three or four good performances. We had three or four okay-ish performances, and we had a couple of poorer performances than what we'd expect. And you can't, it's horrible to slag Ake off, isn't it? But, you know, in these sort of games, that's perhaps where he has been caught out before, making little silly errors. And in all fairness, I mean, I looked at that goal, and when he passed it back, I thought Ederson was going to get to it. I didn't believe that Nunez would get there before Ederson. But I think the error Ederson made, and I put this goal down to 60% Ake's fault and 40% Ederson's fault. Because as a goalkeeper, and I've seen Ederson do this, by actually trying to get his foot on it, it's going to take longer. If he goes down and dives towards that ball with his chest, with his arms, if he goes down and does that, all right, there's a potential he might still give a penalty. That's there. But as a goal, my instinct in that position would be to dive. It wouldn't be to go with my feet, because what's he got to do? You know, he's got to draw his foot back to actually kick it. So that's going to waste a split second. He should have been at it. And Ederson's quite good at diving at people. We've seen him do it. He's brave, isn't he? He's a brave goalkeeper. You know, a bit of an idiot, but he's a brave, and that makes you, you know, a brave goalkeeper. And he should have been down diving. He shouldn't have been kicking that. And of course, who's to say Nunez? I mean, all they have to do is push it. And who's to say Nunez would have even got to it? He might have gone out for a goal kick, or he might have fluffed it. He's not Sergio Aguero, is he? He can't score from the acutest of angles. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed. Of course, disappointed with Ake's ball. It just lacked a yard, perhaps. And that's all it was. And I think he'd stuttered as well. I think if he'd played it immediately back, there would have been time, but I think he just hesitated for that split second. And these split seconds in that situation with Ake and Ederson made all the difference. I just thought Ederson could have done better. And of course, then he goes and injures himself. And I honestly think once he was injured, I think they should have just put Ortega. I think he could have put Ortega on, couldn't he, even though it was a penalty? They could have changed the goal.
You think that was going to be my next question, because there was a little bit of a delay before the penalty was taken.
I mean, it's allowed. they are allowed to do that, aren't they?
They are, but I thought that would have been the time when they should have made the change, because he was clearly hurt. Yeah. Ederson decided to hang on.
It shouldn't be up to Ederson. You know, the manager should make a decision, or the captain, or somebody should make a decision. If he's likely to come off when he's had a word with the medical staff, get Ortega on. And you looked at the graphic. They showed you the graphic on telly, didn't you, where McAllister puts his penalties. Remember that? Most go to that spot he scored in. So if I was a goalkeeper, they should know that anyway. So Ederson went the right way, but obviously he didn't get, you know, it was a good penalty. You know, even if he'd sort of gone a little bit earlier, perhaps he might not have saved it. But, you know, Ortega might have done better. I thought Ortega should have been in, because Ederson's not got the greatest penalty save ratio anyway, has he? So, no, I would have took a chance and put Ortega on at that stage. And, of course, as I say, the ball went exactly where I expected it to do by looking at the graphics of where McAllister likes to put his penalties. And perhaps with that knowledge, you know, it was a good penalty, but it wasn't right in the corner. Perhaps a good goalkeeper might have got across, and Ortega's not bad. He's quite fast, I think, at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that sort of brings us back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, Diaz not playing. I thought, you know, obviously he would have been the captain. and he would have taken that maybe into his own hands. It would have needed anybody else. I mean, he might well have just ordered Ederson off.
Walker, I mean, we're not talking about his football prowess. As a captain, I know the players pick him. I know the players pick these captains, but Walker, for me, is not a good captain. He's not. Mm-hmm. He just isn't. He did something right yesterday. He changed ends. He made them kick towards the cop in the first half. You know, so he did something right. But I just want a bit more leadership, because you think about it, when that goal went in, that's the time when you've got to calm your players down. And all that happened, Bernardo got wound up. So players were getting wound up, and that's why we lose it. That's why we don't have a good record at Liverpool, because we allow ourselves to get all wound up. There's no cool heads. We did it against Villa in the second half. We were shocking. Bournemouth in the second half, we were shocking, because once we lose it, we just carry on losing it. There's no one seemingly getting a grip. And, to some extent, you can probably blame Pep. He should be on that touchline, calming the players down. And obviously, the captain's on the pitch. If there's four or five Stones, the experienced player could calm us down. I mean, Bernardo, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get himself sent off in that 10-minute spell after he thought he got fouled, because he obviously got booked, but he'd already been warned, hadn't he? He'd already been warned mm-hmm. about what he was doing. It's just silly, really. At that stage, they're back in it. The tails are up. That's when a team of City's quality and experience, we've got to, and we haven't coped with those situations this season, and that's probably why we've dropped silly points, and that's why we're risking everything here. But this title's getting further and further away.
Yeah, it's awful to say it, but I have to say that when Ortega came on, I felt a lot safer than I thought. He went on. I mean, it's very, very difficult to pick out a City player as player of the match. But well,
Ortega. I think you're hinting at that. Aren't you? I actually, even though he was only on for 40 minutes with the injury to the extra time, I gave Ortega my man of the match, because I couldn't really think of anyone else to give it to.
Mm-hmm. And especially, a few minutes later, I think this is on the 59th, then he comes sliding out to stop that movement where Nunes played the ball through Diaz. We were quite lucky. Yeah. Luis Diaz, he was all energy and industry, but lucky for us, he didn't have his shooting boots on in this game.
The big difference with Ortega, though, is he can't ping the ball like Ederson. He can't ping it into the... He's very much... When he passes out, it's very much along the floor. And against a press like Liverpool's, it was a bit nerve-wracking at times, and we weren't always clearing our lines. And Ortega makes up for that, of course, with his shot stopping. But, of course, Ederson has the ability just to ping it long when needed. And Ortega obviously doesn't have that. And against Liverpool, that's what you need to do, because, under that press, we've got to ping it long and look for players. We've got to look for... Doku when he comes on. We got to look for the Haaland and hope he can control it and lay it off. And of course, Ortega doesn't have that skill, unfortunately. So although we gained perhaps a little bit a calmer keeper, we lost the ability to clear our lines effectively sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was a missed chance. I missed half chance for Diaz. So just a quick question before we continue. Obviously, Liverpool had their tails up at this point. The Anfield crowd were going berserk at this point. But have you heard anything about what that injury to Ederson might be? Because people thought that it was just a dead leg. But I don't know if you've heard anything more, Bernard.
No, obviously I saw someone said 3 to 5 weeks, but I don't know what they're basing that on. I looked at some of the answers to a statement on social media, and no one was effectively, apart from saying, well, we've got Ortega, no one was effectively saying anything. Of course, he's not going to play next week. He wouldn't have played against Newcastle anyway, which is our next game. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, obviously the next one's Arsenal, which is almost 3 weeks away. So hopefully it'll be okay for that. But a lot of City fans are confident in Ortega. He is a good second keeper. Liverpool got this problem at the moment, haven't they? They got their second keeper in, but they seem to be doing the business by working hard and keeping the ball away from him.
Mm-hmm. On the 64th minute, another great chance for Luis Diaz. As I say, we were lucky that he was, you know, he didn't have the final product. But again, Nunes slips the ball through to him. And this time it's Kyle Walker, you know, hammering back to get out for a corner. And you're glad of his speed, Walker, in that situation.
I was talking to a gentleman we know very well early on. And do you not think he sort of dawdles a bit just so he can look good getting back? I know he probably doesn't, but he just looks as though he takes a little bit he thinks, oh, I'll just dawdle a second. It'll look more impressive now when I get back and tackle.
That's a very, very interesting conspiracy theory there, to make himself look even better than he is. He doesn't need to, but I think you would have thought that if Pep had seen any signs of that, he would have knocked it out of him. But it's interesting. But at this point, sorry to say, guys, all the City diehards, but we were in for a little bit of a shellacking, I think, for the rest of this second half. And we had our moments, which we'll talk about. And despite all of that, I mean, it still could have gone either way. They really were urged on by the crowd, and obviously with the energy and relentless press, we were up against it from that point on, mate.
Yeah, well, 70 minutes, mate. I'll ask you the question. Of course, he made a couple of substitutions. Were they the right ones to make? What are your impressions on 70 minutes?
Well, now this comes the fascinating part. So, for anybody that didn't watch this, Alvarez and De Bruyne come off, and Doku and Kovacic come on, and of course, all of the.
I don't think we got any problem with Alvarez going off, had we at that stage?
No, absolutely not. And of course, some of the know-it-alls on social media said, oh, well, you know, these two guys should have been on from the start. But KDB didn't take it very well, did he, Bernard?
No, I think I couldn't understand. I mean, I'm not, you know, Pep's Pep. He knows what he's doing. And quite right, we got a bit more control, of course, with Kovacic coming on. But we, as many people have said on social media, not hindsight, many people on social media said before the game, I think Kovacic should be on for a bit more control anyway. And of course, Doku, it was an interesting move because we were under the cosh. Doku's not the most cleverest at defending, is he? We will probably comment about the 99th minute incident before we finish this pod. But he's not the most defensive, and yet City were a bit under the cosh. So obviously we wanted to perhaps release Doku and release some of the pressure. And I think the combination of the two sort of worked. I mean, Doku almost got himself a goal, of course, hitting the post, and it sort of worked, but. You know, looking at it, you think KDB, taking KDB off, why not take Haaland off? Why not take Haaland off? Play a false nine, and go in, you know, for the last 20 minutes. I mean, it wasn't working. Whatever Pep was doing wasn't working. Putting Kovacic on worked. Well, that would have worked whether Doku had been brought on or not. But taking De Bruyne off, I just can't understand the logic, especially obviously he was angry. Because he, you know, it wasn't as though he was tired or injured, and you know these big games. Again, he'd been a bit disappointed, Kevin. I think in himself probably as well. It's not just up to us to say KDB. I mean, you know, he's either got himself injured in big games or he's missed out. I think recently, and you know, he's been doing it against rubbishy teams. We've seen that, but you know, just for himself as well, I wouldn't ever have took KDB off yesterday because it's always that opportunity. You know, whether. But as I said, Doku almost worked. But I just wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have took KDB off. I would have took Haaland and Alvarez off and made that switch. Or just take one off at 70 minutes and give it 5 or 10 minutes and take someone else off then. But it sort of nearly worked, but it nearly didn't work, did it? That was the problem.
Well, I'll present the other side of the argument to you, and that is that what is pretty undeniable. Is that we did reclaim a small measure of control when Kovacic came on, and you wouldn't have sacrificed anyone else. But there is this argument really about leaving a player on who's a game changer, because even if they've done nothing, they can strike instantly, and that would have been a toss up, I think, between KDB and Haaland, and I agree with you, they'd have to have a midfield reshuffle, but definitely it just didn't look like it was going to be Haaland's day. And something had to be done because they were like roving forward in, you know, like a sort of a Nordic horde at Liverpool. So I think Kovacic did well and sort of like helped make the case for the decision that Guardiola made. But at this point, you know, it's like all hands to the pump. So it turned out to be a decent change for City. And possibly if KDB had been left on, they would have found ways through us at that point. But anyway, 72nd minute. This is why I was kind of like, you know, sort of justified in feeling a little bit more confident with Ortega coming on, because Liverpool made substitutions of their own, and Robertson was one of them. He's whipped in across for Nunes, and it looked like a tap-in, but Ortega made him, you know, stood up and blocked it pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah, well, for Robertson, look at Walker. You know, Robertson does exactly what we'd like a right back to do. Gets it whipped into that box, and it was a great cross for Nunez to, of course, tap it. I don't think Nunez did too much wrong. I just thought Ortega, like good goalkeepers do, made himself big, Schmeichel-esque in the old days. I think he was one of the very first keepers who used to play handball. Is it handball they used to play, where they'd make themselves as big as possible? And then, of course, other keepers have done that ever since. I mean, I think in my day, I'm going back a long, long time, but we used to just rely on our reflexes or whatever to block shots or dive at people's feet. But of course, so this Schmeichel-esque making yourself big, keepers do it very, very well, and Ortega does it incredibly well, probably better than Edison, actually. And that was a really good block, because, you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was end to end, but it was like to our end, and then occasionally we'd just whip up the other end and have a chance ourselves, because quite soon after we rattled the crossbar, although they would claim it had hit Phil Foden's arm, but I thought it hit his chest on replay. It didn't look as though it hit his arm, so if he'd gone in, it might have even stood. I just don't know, but of course, that was an Aki cross. That, you know, Aki, I was talking about Robertson's cross. You don't tend to see City creating something from an Aki cross, but Kelleher there, he got there first and just punched it against Foden, didn't he? And of course, it rattled the crossbar, but they did say it was handball, but I'm not too sure about that. I thought it might have hit his chest and the top of his arm, which wouldn't be handball anyway. It's not that part of the arm. But anyway, it didn't go in, did it, mate? But that's what it was like. We had the odd chance, didn't we? But they were sort of more dominant at that stage.
Yeah, they were the more dominant. And the reason why I sort of like disagree with all the pundits who are characterizing that as what as route one traffic from Liverpool in the second half is that we did we weren't fully competing with them, but when we did have our chances, they were generally good ones.
The post one, that was Doku, wasn't it? 89 minutes. That didn't think anything. That was the next big. I think there's a lot of half chances for Liverpool without it being too nerve wracking. And of course, Doku did pretty much everything right, and that ball could have gone off the inside of the post and rebounded into the net, or rebounded to a, I think Foden was in and around the box. It could have rebounded to a City player, but you know, if we got lucky, Liverpool got lucky as well, because you know, Doku sort of didn't put any swerve on it. Obviously, he was coming in from that angle, wasn't he? So it's a more or less a straight shot rather than putting any sort of bend on it. And of course, we were unlucky that it stayed out. And of course, we had a couple of salad dives, didn't we, in the meantime as well, I think.
Oh my gosh. There's one in particular where you see what he's all about. That one where he throws his, you know, he's got this down to an art. He bends backwards and throws his arm up at the way like a dying swan. And that was caught perfectly on camera and shared around on social media afterwards. He's just very, very shameful in the way that he does that. But I mean, before the Doku chance, I mean, I thought Luis Diaz was like running around like a madman. And as I said before, he was, you know, putting the fear of God in us. But lucky enough, he was impotent when it came to the final decision.
I think that's what let Liverpool down. I think, of course, Salah coming back from injury. I think if Salah had been in the position Nunez and the guy, who's the other guy you just mentioned then? Who did you just mention? Which Liverpool player you just mentioned then?
Diaz,
yeah. I mean, if he'd have been in those positions, Salah, a fit Salah who'd been playing, had been in the positions Nunez and that guy were in, I think we would have probably might have had three or four goals against. We might have scored two or three back, but I think the finishing was pretty poor, I thought, generally from Liverpool.
Yeah, and before that, of course, we didn't mention this, but Nunez obviously was substituted for Cody Gakpo. Yeah, getting to the 98 minutes added on. Now that was odd for me. I mean, that second half was played at such a tremendous pace. I don't know where he got 8 minutes from. Do you?
Well, probably for the penalty incident is probably 3 or 4 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes at least. And then it's where it falls down, Nate, doesn't it? I mean, this is where all this time added on falls down because, you know, there was a bit of time wasted from City when we were under the cosh, a little bit, not too much. But, of course, the Liverpool fans were booing as soon as you took more than a second to take a free kick or something like that. So, you know, that influences a referee, that influences the fourth officials, etc., stuff like that. So I wasn't surprised. I was thinking 7 or 8 minutes. So I wasn't surprised that 8 minutes went up on the board. But I honestly thought we were going to get through it without too much aggravation. I thought it was going to be fine. I thought, oh, we'll get a draw out of this now. They're not going to score. And then you say you get... And it was past 8 minutes, wasn't it? I think it was a late corner. And it was into the... I think about 8.5 minutes were on the clock, weren't they? 8 minutes, 40 seconds. And of course, we did mention Doku's ability in defence before, didn't we? And of course, all it is on the back pages of the newspapers is how they were robbed of a penalty. You know, I used to say they would have scored it anyway. But I mean, the still pictures look awful, don't they? Let's be honest about it. But it wasn't that bad live. It was just, you know, if anything, he was definitely going for the ball, but he just lifted his boot. He wasn't vicious with it. And the Liverpool guy just ran into him to make the most of it. But I use that XG philosophy, and I'm going to look for another one to use because he did a little thing on XG philosophy, and he said that incident was 0.99 a penalty. So I just wrote bollocks on it and said I'll be using someone else in future. But you know, so yeah, I don't. Another day that would have been given, I think, at Anfield. I was surprised it wasn't. I wasn't surprised VAR didn't get overruled the referee because it wasn't enough in it for me for it to be a dangerous play. It certainly wasn't dangerous play because it was no intent on it. It was just sort of lifted his leg. You know, it wasn't any. And he was going. The ball was there. He got the ball first, and obviously it then went onto his chest, and that's where all the pictures are, of course, on the papers, and that's what we'll get for the next 3 or 4 years now. It's, you know, it's like the Rodri incident. This is what we'll get from Merseyside for the next few years. We'll get this thrown in our faces, but forgetting all the times we've been robbed at Anfield with dodgy decisions, you know what I mean? So anyway, it's Doku perhaps should have cleared it first time. I think he had a chance to welly it, didn't he? I think he had a chance to get it out, but then he sort of waited it to come back down again. And of course, the thing is, you've gone over time anyway. You know, all a defender has to think, or someone in the box thinks, just get it out, just get it somewhere, because the referee will blow the whistle. Just get it to out for a throw-in or something. It doesn't matter. Just get it clear. But that's not the City way, I suppose, is it? But I think on another day that might have gone against us, but. It was 6 of 1, half a dozen of another, and I wasn't too worried about it at the time, and I didn't even think it was that bad at the time. But obviously, then this morning, it's the end of the world, isn't it? It's the biggest VAR cock up that we've ever had, and all this rubbish.
Yeah, and I think what makes it sure that Scousers will be whining about this for years to come. His old big teeth in his post-match interview. I hate when managers say things like this. I mean,
you say he could have killed him.
He said if the ball hadn't been there, he could have killed him.
The ball was there. He's not going to say if the ball wasn't there, he could have killed him. Well, the ball was there. That's the old point, mate.
You remember Ferguson doing the same thing whenever someone gets struck in the head with a ball while he was lying down? He could have killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, honest to goodness, I mean, just for goodness sake, just wind your neck in, Rita Hayworth. I mean, honestly, that was unbelievable. But anyway, that was pretty much the last bit of drama. And the game is over. Now, I was actually very anxious to... basically just to take a look at what other people have been saying about this game. And I think one of the voices of reason at the end of this game was from old Steve in their esteemed company. He said, okay, let's look about this, guys, in the big picture. It's 1 point at Anfield. What do you expect? And let's look at the table. There's only 1 point in it. And it's all to play for. I don't think anyone should be getting depressed about this. I mean, obviously, I would say that Liverpool and Arsenal, possibly at this moment in time, in a little bit of better form, but City can turn it on like a switch. Now, here's the thing. Let me ask you, and you've got to be terribly, terribly honest here. If I had offered you 1-1 before the game started, would you take it? Or yeah, would you have said
two,
no?
Two, mate, didn't. My prediction was 2-2, so I would have took a draw all day long. It's interesting that Opta Analyst, have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, Premier League title chances, of course. What would happen if Liverpool won, percentage-wise, a draw, and if City win? And, of course, with the draw, it still means City, according to the old computers that they work out all this rubbish on, are still 48% likely to win. Liverpool are 33%, and Arsenal are down in 19%. So that was the result of the draw. Of course, those ratios would have altered incredibly if City had won or Liverpool had won. But, yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, the only thing that I don't like now is it's not in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
If Arsenal beat us next week and they win all the games, they'll win it. If Liverpool win all their games, they'll win it. If Arsenal slip up, so at this point in time, we are relying on other teams taking points, certainly off Liverpool, because we can't do anything about it. And of course,
I tell you what, though,
we can do damage to Arsenal next week. That's in our hands, so that's fine. That's okay. And if you look at our I've done this points comparison to last season against the same teams and against the promoted teams. And that was a point gained, of course. We were 4 points down, even though we were ahead on points, I think, in total compared to last season. But we're actually, against the same teams, we were actually 4 points down. So now we're 3 points down. And, of course, we can catch up with those 3 points by beating teams like Brighton and Tottenham away and stuff like that. So, we can get to, 90-ish points, and these other teams have to do it. But as you said, momentum-wise, at this point in time, Arsenal are flying. We've got to knock them off their perch in two and a half weeks' time. And, of course, I don't think that would have done Liverpool's confidence any harm. It wouldn't have hurt them. I think it probably hurt us a little bit. I think we're grateful for the draw, but I think we're a bit bruised after that. And I think the players will be a bit bruised. I think Pep's a bit bruised as well.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, it's funny how I feel twice as confident at the prospect of facing Arsenal than I do against Liverpool at Anfield. So I think if we beat them, then that would really restore morale and put us potentially on the chart.
If you look at the game yesterday, the neutral will probably say, and I'd probably say, Liverpool probably edged it. They should have perhaps won the game. But if you look at the Etihad game, we should have won that. So really, we could have had an extra point each, couldn't we? If we both won our own games, and Arsenal will be third in the table now, and it wasn't Liverpool will be first and second.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's. All I can say is I'm glad it's over.
Rodgers got booked, didn't he? But he won't miss. Well, this is where I'm confused now. I believe it's not a problem. I mean, we were on the basis of next time Rodgers gets booked, he's going to miss three games. But I've been told that's not true. And, of course, I've not heard anything. So presumably he's okay for the FA Cup and he's okay for the Arsenal game at the moment.
Yeah, I think they people got their maths wrong on that one. Yeah. I heard that before the game started.
I don't expect him to start against Newcastle. I'll be surprised, especially if he is near the limit, because unless he can get booked and still play against Arsenal, that's fine. We've got Villa as well, haven't we, after that? So it's never an easy time now for Rodgers to miss games. But I think yesterday's booking was a bit soft. I know it was in the middle of the pitch. Did he take McAllister down at one time, I think?
Yeah.
But I think it was probably not a bit needless. And I thought... what do you think of Rodri yesterday, mate? I wasn't overly impressed in a big game that he stepped up.
Mm-hmm. Opinions are divided on that point. I've seen some reports where people were giving high praise to him, but I thought he was...
I thought he was all over the pitch, but I don't think he was actually all over the pitch in a constructive way.
No, it was an uncharacteristic performance by him. He will definitely not play in the Newcastle game. And on that subject, how many changes do you think Pep will make for that game against Newcastle? Is he going to go for just two or three, or are there going to be wholesale changes?
Well, if you look at the bench that started the bench against Liverpool, these guys, I think, will start against Newcastle. So these are five or six changes straight away. Ortega's going to start, obviously. There's no quibble about that. You have to expect Diaz to start a Newcastle game. You have to expect Kovacic to start a Newcastle game. You've got to expect either Doku or Bob to start the Newcastle game. And, of course, he wants to get his Mr. Gvardiol back in, don't he? And, of course, does Mr. Walker need a rest? And that about Lewis? And what about Nunes? Yeah. I mean, he could make seven or eight changes. You wouldn't quibble because it's the FA Cup. You know, we're not saying second-rate youngsters here, are we? Nunes, Gvardiol, Doku, Kovacic, Diaz, Ortega and Lewis. I mean, all these guys, you know, are sort of not the first names on the team sheet, but, you know, they're all on the bench for this Liverpool game. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes at least six or seven changes.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got that one against Newcastle and then the Arsenal game after that. Do we deserve to win the title, do you think? I mean, obviously, it's a silly question in some ways because there's still 10 games to go. What do you reckon? Would it be a steal if we won it?
Well, it wouldn't be a steal. We deserve it because obviously over 38 games, that's what it is. But we're not as good. We're not on a level above some of these teams now. You know, teams like Bournemouth are giving us good games. Teams like Luton Town, you know, forget the FA Cup. I'm talking about the league match. They're giving us good games. Villa totally took us to pieces. You know, all right, it's a while ago now. You know, but you know, just teams like Villa who got stuffed at the weekend by Tottenham. You know, by the ever present failures, Tottenham. So I just think we're going to need a certain amount of luck. We're not on a different level anymore. At times, I think other season when we got to the last 10 games, I think we've kicked into gear. I don't think we've quite kicked into gear yet, which probably means we won't really see that fluidity that we've seen over previous seasons. I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle. We've got some tough games left. And I think if we win it, we deserve to win it. But... I think the others have either they've caught us up and we've dropped a little bit in our standards, I think. I think Pep's been trying to change things this season with his tactics. We don't really have overlapping fullbacks at the moment, do we? Since Cancelo left on the left and, of course, Walker's getting a bit long in the tooth now. You got them two guys who, you know, we just don't have that anymore. So Pep's had to change tack a little bit, hasn't he? He has had to change his tactics to suit, of course. I don't think we're quite as effective as we were. And we're seeing that. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it, mate? We've seen it at the Etihad dropping points. We're just not as convincing as we have been in previous seasons. But we can still win it and we can do it. And we will deserve to win it if we do, as will Arsenal and Liverpool if they go on to win it.
Yeah, I think one thing that sort of characterises this season is I think the other two up there with us have been disposing with more the lower placed teams with more ease. We've been making it more difficult for ourselves. But let's finish off on a funny note. I'm sure you've seen this, so this is funny, and it proves to me anyway that Noel Gallagher listened to our last pod, because in the last pod, I distinctly told you about those comments about Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I picked up on the point that he said, well, you know, City have probably been more successful for us. And I don't know if you saw Liam Gallagher's response to that whole situation, where he calls Trent Alexander-Arnold a simpleton and says, probably, what do you mean probably? It's 14-7. We've won twice as many trophies as you in this period. And it just proves that that guy is a simpleton. That was hilarious, actually, that little bit.
Yeah, well, guys, see, their seven means more, so they doubled it up to 14, so they've won it exactly the same as us.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I think that'll do us, Bernard. And we'll be back after the Newcastle game, obviously. But feeling pretty happy with life at the moment. Where are you on a scale of 0 to 10 at this point?
Yeah, well, someone put on Twitter, you know, quarterfinals of the Champions League, FA Cup quarterfinals, chance of Wembley, of course, this week. Third in the league, just a point behind the leaders. So it's not going too badly, is it? Problems. I mean, I've always been a bit more positive over the last couple of years than I probably was years ago. I've got more faith in Pep, even though I pick on him and make silly, like, not play, you know, should have played Kovacic from the start, like I told you to, and all this sort of thing. But yeah, I think you've got me. It doesn't matter, does it? We're in it. We're in the mix, aren't we? And of course, I just want to stop that Liverpool quadruple that they're banging on about, no, which isn't a real proper quadruple anyway, is it? Let's be honest about it. But you know, wherever we can, we've got to be in there, mate. Because there's no one else will stop them. There's no one else can stop Liverpool apart from us. I don't even think Arsenal can, or Tottenham, or Villa, these other cup competitions and the league. Of course, we can't do anything about the European one. They'll probably walk that one. So there's two trophies. But we can stop them in the FA Cup by getting to the final and winning that. And we can stop them in the league by winning 9 out of our last 10 or something like that. And, you know, they hopefully won't match it. So that's what I want to do. I don't want Klopp to go out. I don't want to see that grinning face in that last game of the season. Do you? I mean, can anyone...
No.
I'll be turning and blocking and turning things off all the time for weeks to come if that happens. So we can stop them. We're still good enough to stop them. We're still good enough to get the plaudits. At this point in time, if we only do a double, I'll be happy. If we can't do a treble, if we do a double, I'm not saying which double it'll be, but I'll be happy with a double. But if we end up with nothing, hey, we're back next season, mate. Don't matter, does it? We'll still be there.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I love to hear. Well, guys, I think we'll stop there. And as I said, we'll be back with you after the next one. And so we'll finish off in the traditional way by saying, have one on us and up those Blues.
Up the Super Blues.